When Job was contending with God about how he ran the universe, God responded, "Do you give strength to the horse? Do you adorn his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like a locust? His proud snorting fills one with terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He charges into battle. He laughs at fear, since he is afraid of nothing. He does not run from the sword. He charges ahead with trembling rage. He cannot stand still at the trumpet's sound. When the trumpet blasts, he snorts defiantly. He smells the battle from a distance. He hears the officers' shouts and the battle cry."
One of the most beautiful and powerful of all God's creations is the horse. I love to watch a horse run. You know, the horses that run in the Kentucky Derby weigh about 1,200 pounds, and they can carry 126 pounds of jockey and saddle for a mile and a quarter. They're beautiful, yes, but amazingly powerful. Each horse runs a series of races, preparing it for the next race, so that ultimately it's prepared for the big race. The Church on Rush Creek has been running races since 1984, when they began in Key Elementary in Dalworthington Gardens. In 1985, they moved into their building near the corner of Green Oaks and Bowen. 5 years later, in 1989, they came into a terrible financial crisis, and they were within 1 week of actually closing the doors. But God's little small group of believers prayed. They took their surrender to a new level. They took their faith to a new level. They took their generosity to a new level, and they were able to keep the doors open and continue ministering. In 1992, the pastor, F.B. Huey, challenged them to buy a 25-acre tract right next to them on the west side. Today, it's the home of the Green Oaks campus. In 1994, the church called me and my family to be the pastor of Rush Creek. And 23 years later, I can tell you, it has been quite a ride. In 2001, we moved into the first phase of what you know as the Green Oaks campus. And that was a good call, because in 2005, the original building burned to the ground.
Our worst fears are being realized, and the church was just totally engulfed in flames. And, people started showing up. My wife and my two daughters came and met us, and we just held each other and cried. It was where all our memories were. It was where our kids wrote verses on the walls. It's where our kids were baptized. It's where we had great worship experiences. And as I saw the building going up in flames, I felt the loss of losing all that.
Once again, the people of Rush Creek took their surrender and their faith and their generosity to a new level and constructed what is the back portion of the Green Oaks campus now, where the commons is, the children's area, the coffee bar, and the family theater. But at that same time, we called Pastor Marty Collier to come be the campus pastor of our Mar-a-Lago campus. We had begun that campus in 2004 in Danny Jones Middle School. I was driving back and forth, and in October of 2005, Marty came on board to lead that campus, and he's been at my side ever since. What most people don't realize is the Green Oaks campus had a great deal to do with the purchasing of the land of the Mar-a-Lago campus. In 2010, we were approached by an oil and gas company that wanted to lease our land for the prospect of drilling for gas. And they gave us a check, a bonus check of $1.1 million. And so we were able to purchase the 14.21 acres on Daymire for $780,000, and we did it with cash. But God wasn't finished with us yet. In 2011, we merged with the Fellowship of the Metroplex, and under the leadership, the great leadership of Scott Oldenburg, they became our Mansfield West campus. In 2012, Mar-a-Lago moved into the first phase of their building. In 2013, the Green Oaks campus moved into its expanded worship space, more children's space, and I think the best part was constructing the Compassion Center. And then in 2014, we were able to purchase a building for the Mansfield West campus. And so they moved out of Lillard Junior High into that building near the corner of 287 and Cooper. And then in 2016, we merged with Hanley Baptist Church, and they became our Hanley campus under the leadership of Jared Witt. And so now we have these four local campuses. You add to that our beloved El Salvador campus under the incredible leadership of Pastor Carlos Abrego. It's just amazing what God has done. I want you to grab at least three observations as a result of looking backward at God's faithfulness. Number one, the people of Rush Creek are risk takers, we're innovators, we're builders, we're investors, and we're multipliers. People who kind of want to hold what they've got, people who want to maintain the status quo, do not stick around long at the church on Rush Creek. Secondly, we're always at our best when we have a great challenge ahead of us. I mean, you look back over our history, you can see every time there was a challenge, God's people took their game up. And thirdly, God is always prepared and always ready for a great challenge. He relishes putting his people in positions where we have to trust him more.
Russ mentioned a few minutes ago that Rush Creek has been running races since 1984. And now your leadership feels that God has placed another race before us. And we think this is the biggest and most important race that we have run yet. About a year ago, we began thinking, talking, and praying about what the next great challenge that God had for Rush Creek. And we were captivated by Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." I love the promise that God gives us in these verses, that he wants to do above and beyond all we think or ask. That's amazing. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is in us. The God who created the universe is in us, and he wants to do above and beyond all that you could ask or imagine. He wants to do that in your life, and he wants to do that in your church. What would your life be like? What would Rush Creek be like if God was unleashed in us and through us?
What if everyone who called Rush Creek home had a life-altering encounter with this amazing God, and the result was that they took their surrender and their faith and their generosity to a whole new level? What if each one of us, thousands of us, made extraordinary decisions to take extraordinary steps to cooperate with this extraordinary God in the unleashing of his power that we have never seen before? We are calling this next season of ministry at Rush Creek Unleashed. Unleashed is a 24-month generosity initiative that will enable us to achieve the vision that we believe God has given us to make a greater impact for him. And because of all that he's done in the past, we believe that we are uniquely gifted and experienced and positioned to take on some challenges and take advantage of some opportunities that God has laid before us. But it's going to take all of us. Now, make no mistake, we are who we are, and we are where we are because of the faith and the foresight of the people who've come before us. Our primary goal is 100% engagement. That means that every one of us, we're inviting everyone who calls Rush Creek home to be part of going on a journey of prayer and seeking the Lord and taking our level of faith and surrender and generosity to a brand new level. Can you imagine what would happen if we did that, if we all did that? The difference it would make in our lives, the difference it would make in our church. I mean, when I think about it, I get so excited, I want to run down this track. Unleashed has three elements to it. The first element is what we call Unleash the Power. The power plan of any church is its ongoing ministries. And that's fueled by what our annual budget is every year. And Unleash is going to enable us to actually increase the life-changing ministries that we have now that have made us what we are today. The second element is what we call Unleash the potential to impact this part of God's world that he has given us to pastor and to steward. And so, you know, Mira Lagos is in three services now, and they may be in four not too long. So we need to expand their facilities. Mansfield West is in three services. And then there's always the opportunity to merge with other campuses like we did Mansfield West and like we did Hanley and come along churches that are struggling or even dying. And we have the opportunity to push back the darkness for Jesus' sake. And then the third element of Unleashed is unleash the people. When we built the Compassion Center, we took our game up to minister to the under-resourced in our area. And then we want to do more because there's just such an opportunity for us to impact people for Jesus. And then when you look at El Salvador, there's such great need there. We want to take our game up there and increase our investment there. And then when you think about it, we have helped start 19 churches in the last 15 years. So we have had quite a commitment to church planting, but we want to even have more commitment and put more resources in our church planting effort. And so we're looking at actually sending people out of our church to places like Portland, Oregon. In fact, right now we already have three individuals up there. They're going to spend a year coming alongside our partners. But we're going to call out people from Rush Creek to go up there and plant their lives and be a part of a launch team for 3 to 5 years. Portland is the most unreached city in the country. And so we want to increase our involvement and increase our investment in church planting, both domestically in the U.S. and internationally around the world. This is a big vision, but our God is a big God. In fact, He wants to do above and beyond even what we're thinking. So begin praying now what your role is going to be in Unleashed. And be praying that God would take your surrender and your faith and your generosity to a whole new level so that we can see the awesomeness of this God unleashed like we've never seen it before. You know, for 33 years, Rush Creek has had a lot of races. By God's grace, we've been able to finish every one of them. But I believe that our biggest race is just ahead. And I can't wait to see what our awesome God does to unleash His power and His glory.
He paws in the valley and rejoices in His strength. He charges into battle. He laughs at fear, since He is afraid of nothing. He does not run from the sword. He charges ahead with trembling rage. He cannot stand still at the trumpet's sound.
Exciting day to be a part of the church on Rush Creek. Throughout history, there have been significant events that have literally changed the trajectory of history. Events like the Declaration of Independence or Emancipation Proclamation or John F. Kennedy's speech, the Man on the Moon speech, all of these and many more literally helped change the trajectory of history. We know what we know today because of events just like that. And I stand before you today as the pastor of the Miralagos campus, as the co-pastor of Rush Creek, and tell you that today is a historic day, a significant day in the life of Rush Creek. It's a day where we all will choose to take a step of faith, surrender, and generosity. Why? Because for years, as Pastor Rush shared, leading up to today, people just like yourself, because they wanted to push back the darkness, because they wanted to make an impact in all of eternity, they stepped into spaces just like this. And so we too, on this day, and for the next 5 weeks, will pray about our role for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And I want every one of you to feel a great deal of responsibility for the next generation. We have a role. It's not just their role. When they get up, they can figure it out. No, it's our role to set a foundation so that when they get up, they can stand on that foundation that you and I have built. And so what is this? Well, as Pastor Russ said, this is what we're calling Unleashed. And Unleashed is a 2-year generosity initiative. This 2-year generosity initiative will enable or allow us to cooperate with the Spirit of God in pushing back the darkness in this community and around the world faster and better, because that's what we believe we're here to do. So Unleashed is a 2-year generosity initiative with the primary goal of being 100% engagement or participation. That means whether you just are one of the 20 people who were baptized last week in our Elements class, or one of the 12 people that were baptized at our Mansfield West campus last Sunday, 32 people baptized last Sunday as a result of Rush Creek. As a result of you investing in and partaking in the vision that God has given us. But our primary goal is 100% participation. That means everyone, whether you just started your relationship with Christ or you've been walking with the Lord for many, many years, that you would participate. How? That you would participate in at least three ways. One, that you would participate by really taking your surrender to the next level. We'll emphasize over the next 6 weeks that this is a discipleship process. Because if you started right now and for the next 6 weeks praying that God would move you to a place of surrender like you've never been moved before, would that not be a spiritual movement in your heart? Yes. We're asking for 100% participation. That is our primary goal, that every one of us, our kids, our teenagers, and the adults in this room would take our surrender to the next level. But not just stop at surrender, we would take our faith to the next level, because anytime God begins to call us to surrender, we will be forced to what? Trust Him. That's called faith. And when we begin to trust God, then I just want you to prepare for this, because when we are surrendering and we're trusting Him by taking steps of faith, He will call us to a place of generosity. Study after study has shown that the most fulfilled, happy people in the world are those who are generous. And so we're calling Rush Creek to be a generous church, because we believe that when Jesus Christ lives in us, He calls us towards sacrifice or surrender, faith, and generosity. And this is our primary goal of Unleashed. But our secondary goal is $22 million. Now, that $22 million includes our annual operating budget, which for the Church on Rush Creek, our annual operating budget comes in on a yearly basis right at $7 million. So this is a 2-year initiative, which means that would be $14 million of that $22 million is our annual operating plan. If nothing changed, that's what we believe that would happen over the next 24 months. But we're asking that what if 100% of people started calling out to God here at the Church on Rush Creek to increase our surrender and our faith and our generosity? We believe that 22, and maybe 22 is even low, we believe that God will unleash His power in a powerful way, in a way that we've never seen before. Why? It's a great question, church. Why do this? Why do this, and why do this now? Well, we do this because we believe that this is exactly what God has called us to do, to take light into dark places. And have you turned on the news recently? Have you seen what's going on in our world? Would you agree with me that we are living in an ever-darkening world? And God has called us to be light in that world. As a matter of fact, Jesus says this in John chapter 8. Look at this verse. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Of course, the light that we're speaking of this morning and the light that we're talking about all this series is the light of the gospel, the power. It's a spiritual light. We live in an increasingly darkening world. 7.5 billion people on planet Earth today. And 5.3 billion of those are living in darkness spiritually. So out of 7.5 billion people on earth, 5.3 billion of them do not know the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. And we feel like as a church that we should be burdened and feel a great deal of ownership and responsibility for that. Because 260 million people in the United States do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're living in spiritual darkness. 5,000 to 7,000 churches a year are closing their doors because they lack vision or the resources to accomplish the vision. Somebody along the way gave up on God. And 5,000 to 7,000 churches are shutting their doors and saying, "We can't do this anymore. And for every church that shuts their door, darkness enters in. God did not just set the church on Rush Creek, Mira-Lagos, in the middle of this 14-acre field across from Lake Ridge High School and right down the street from other high schools and in the midst of a growing community just so that we could close the doors and let this space grow dark. He set us here to be a light. And if we're going to be a light the way that God's called us to be a light, every one of us will take our surrender, our faith, and our generosity to a whole new level. I say this often, that life is short, eternity is long, and you know it what? The gospel is good news. Because if life is short, and by the way, it is. It's a vapor, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow, and yet we're staring at eternity, and eternity is forever, and that's a long time, somebody. Then the gospel is so good. And my question for us today, Mira-Lagos, is what are we doing in this short life that is making a difference for all of eternity? I'm going to be honest, I loved my soccer game yesterday. I watched my 11-year-old play. It was fun. But I'm going to tell you something. In the scope, in the grand scheme of all of eternity, that was a very insignificant moment. It was a good dad moment. It was a good family moment. But in the scope of eternity, it pales in comparison for what God wants me to do with my time and my life, my energy, my resources, and even, yes, even our treasure, to show him that I want to make decisions that make a difference for all of eternity. This is why we are doing this. What we're going to do with our short lives will impact an eternity. And if our lives are short, and indeed they are, then I'm going to push us, church. I'm going to press upon us at the Mira-Lagos campus, at all of our campuses, to make sure that we're spending our lives in a way that matters. And don't misunderstand me. Our sport teams, supporting our kids, allowing them to enjoy life and be active, important, important. But eternity, spiritual darkness, and the overwhelming feeling in our nation today of darkness crowding in and quenching the light of the gospel supersedes all else in our lives. And so on the right side, my left, but on your right side, on the very last chair, on the right side of all of our rows, are a basket of books. Would you take one of those books? There are pens in there also. And would you pass that basket all the way down your row so that everyone on your row receives a book just like this right here? When you get your book, there are pens in your basket as well. But when you get your book, I just want to make sure that everybody gets one. And so you can just kind of show me that you have your book. And I'm going to ask you, because I only have 4.5 minutes left, I'm going to ask you not to start in page one and start rolling through all of this content. You have 6 weeks, for crying out loud, to read this. I've got 4.5 minutes to get through Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So I need you to take your booklet, and I want you to turn to page 30. Take your booklet and turn to page 30. At some point before the service is over today, I encourage you to, there's a place in the very front where you can write your name. I encourage you to write your name, because listen to me, you're going to bring this book, the book that we just gave you, you're going to bring that every single Sunday. You're going to bring that to Life Group. You're going to bring that to every gathering that you have, because there's going to be your Life Group notes are in there. Your sermon notes are in there. Everything that you need for the next 6 weeks are in that booklet. So I want to make sure that you bring those. Everybody have one? Say yeah. Page 30, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. As we talk about unleashing the gospel, the Bible says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, to the end of the earth." To the end of the earth. I want you to see three things that are there in your listening guide on page 30 of your booklet, and you can write some notes as well. But when the gospel is unleashed, I want you to see that when the gospel is unleashed, we, the people of God, are empowered by the Spirit of God. That the people of God are empowered. Notice it says you. This is very personal. This is not the person sitting next to you or beside you, in front of you, or behind you. God wants to get your attention today and let you know that as a follower of Jesus, you will receive power. You will receive power. It's a promise for all who believe. And this power, as I said in the video, is the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. My question is, are you and I walking and living in the Spirit and in its power? Are you choosing every day, church, to walk and to live in the powerful Spirit of God? Are you allowing the power of God to let you be light in dark places, to let you live courageously? I read a story about Hetty Green. You may or may not know her. She lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and she was known as the Witch of Wall Street. Hetty Green, when she died, had an overall wealth of $3.8 billion. And yet she lived as if she were impoverished. As a matter of fact, she would spend all night, and did so on several occasions, looking for a 2-cent stamp. This is a woman that's worth $3.8 billion. Spend all night long looking for a 2-cent stamp. When she would have her clothes laundered, she would give very specific instructions to only wash the dirty areas of her dress in order to save costs. And one tragic time, her son broke his leg, and rather than taking him to the hospital or to a doctor's office where you would pay, she took him to the free clinic. They misdiagnosed it. They did not diagnose it as broken. It got infected and had to be amputated because she literally lived as if she were impoverished, and yet she's worth $3.8 billion. Why do I tell you that? Because I believe that there are believers today, maybe even in this church, and we are living spiritually as if we are impoverished. We have power of the Holy Spirit living in us, who wants to do things in us that we have never seen or experienced before. And I'm wondering how many of us are living like Hetty Green, spiritually impoverished, when we have this wealth of power called the Holy Spirit, who wants to do in and through us more than we could imagine, church. When the gospel is unleashed, I want you to know very clearly that we are empowered by His Spirit. But when the gospel is unleashed, we share our personal story. Notice this. It says that you will be my witnesses. Understand, God's goal when He saved you, God's goal and desire when He saved you was that you would be His witness. That every one of you in this room, I want you to know that you have a unique story. I'm looking all across the room. Every single one of you here today have a unique story. Everyone. But here's what's good. When your unique story collides with God's story, all of a sudden, you have a powerful story because it's a story of transformation. You see, there are lots of people on the earth because we all were created by God, even people who don't know that. They were all created uniquely. But when your unique story collides with God's story, I want you to know that it becomes a powerful story. And that is why on this stage a few weeks ago, when Corey and Kristen Dennis shared their story, it was powerful. Why? Because it was their story and God's story in this massive collision of transformation. When David and Cheryl shared their story on this stage, it was powerful. Why? Because it was their unique story combined with God's story. And that collision of transformation brought power. When Jim Rumsey stood on the stage and when we wept and prayed over him, that was his unique story combined with God's story to become a powerful story. You see, when the gospel, church, is unleashed, when the gospel is unleashed, not only are all of a sudden we empowered by the Spirit, but when it's unleashed, we begin to share our personal story because we believe that everyone in this room has a story, and every single story matters to God. That you have a story to tell. And that story matters. That's why we desire 100% engagement in this Unleashed initiative, so that we can see and hear and share the stories of transformation. But Acts 1:8 doesn't stop there. When the gospel is unleashed, I want you to see that we participate in His grand purpose. It says that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That all of a sudden we become not just spectators of, but participants in God's grand purpose. You see, there are two questions, two significant questions that you and I need to be asking ourselves on a regular basis. Question number one, it's not on the screen, but it's simply this: why on earth am I here? Why am I here? And I want you to know the answer to that question. It's not just to get an education. I praise God if you do. If you have one, I hope that you do. Students, stay in school. Get an education. But listen to me, threw that in for you parents and for myself. That is not the most significant reason why you're here. You're here, look at me, you're here to know God and His goodness and His grace and His love and His compassion in a relationship. Why are you here? You're here to know God. But not only why am I here, but what did God save me? Or why, rather, did God save me? So what on earth am I here for? I'm here to know God. And so why did He save me and allow me to know Him? He did that so that I could make Him known. So the easy answer is just this way: to know Him and to make Him known. That's why we're here, and that's why you have a relationship with God, to know Him and to make Him known. He saved you to know Him, to make Him known, to participate in His grand purpose by pushing back darkness. The theme verse is Ephesians 3:20-21. I want you to see it on the screen. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to every generation or to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So church, I want to give you just a few practical steps for Unleashed. Things that I want you to write down, that I want you to understand, that I want you to realize about this next 6-week initiative. The first thing is simply this: I need you and I've asked you to attend your group every single week. If you're not in a life group here at the church on Rush Creek, we have done something for the next 5 weeks, or today and the next five after it. We've done something specifically for you who may not be able to make a Wednesday night group or a Sunday morning group, or I mean a Sunday afternoon group. We have created what we're just calling an on-site group for you. It's 11 o'clock every Sunday, only during this series. So for the 6 weeks of Unleashed, we will have an 11 o'clock group that will meet in the portable behind us. Pastor Chris will be leading that group. And here's why we want everyone in group. Look at me. Is that I will not be able to share on this stage all of the content of Unleashed. There's just not enough time. So you will be missing out on significant content if you do not choose to participate either in our on-site group or you participate in your life group. Please participate in a group because there's content that you're not going to get anywhere else. Attend your group every single week. The second thing I want you to do is to read, but not just read, but read and pray through the Unleashed booklet. Inside this book, it has Miralago's campus expansion, some plans and ideas. It has merger opportunities. It has some desires that we want to launch campuses, possibly in Midlothian or in Burleson. All of these things are plans that we believe that God has given us. We want you to read this. We want you to pray over this book. And then I'm going to ask you that starting today for the next 5 weeks that you would do everything you can not to miss a Sunday morning. Don't miss one single Sunday morning. Now, if you're right now already discouraged because you've got a vacation planned or work is going to take you away from a Sunday morning, let me just tell you that we have a website, rcunleashed.org, that you can go and watch video content there. And every Sunday, we can't do this for all of our campuses, but every single Sunday, we will be Facebook Live-ing Pastor Russ's message. So right now, Pastor Russ is on live, and that message correlates the same as our messages all across our campuses. It's just a good opportunity. I got a text this morning at 4 a.m., and I was awake, from Hong Kong. It was one of our church members in Hong Kong right now on business, just saying, Pastor Marty, I'm praying for you this morning as you deliver the Unleashed content. I said, praise God, Kenneth, I'm thankful for you. And I said, hey, I want you to go online and watch Pastor Russ's his message. Facebook Live. And so right now in Hong Kong, Kenneth Sewell is watching Pastor Russ in this moment. That's awesome. Don't miss. But if you have to, make sure that you catch it online. The next thing is that we want you to be here on November the 12th. Change your plans for this one. Change vacation. Commitment Sunday is November the 12th. This is where you have an opportunity to start right now praying, God, how do you want me to take my surrender? How do you want me to take my faith? And how do you want us as a family to take our generosity to the next level? And inside your booklet is a commitment card, and that commitment card is there for the one reason, for you to start right now praying about how God would want you to fill that out and bring it on November the 12th. And then finally, is that we're going to ask you to be a part of our prayer initiative. We believe that the only way that this is going to happen in our church is if you and I commit to pray, and here's what that's going to look like. Number one is you all are invited to join us at our Green Oaks campus every Wednesday at 11:30. Your staff, we've actually been praying since March. Wednesdays at 11:30, we take a break for 30 minutes. We all gather together, and we just get on our knees before the Lord and call out to him on behalf of you and on behalf of this Unleashed initiative. If you happen to be free one Wednesday at 11:30, come to Green Oaks and pray with us. But if you're not, I'm going to ask you to set your watch alarm or to set your phone alarm to remind you at 11:30 on Wednesday, wherever you are in the world, that you would be thinking about your church, the darkness in your community, and the desire that you have to participate with God and allow him to unleash his power and his gospel. And then on November 10th and 11th, we're going to do a 24-hour prayer vigil at our campus, at every campus. So our doors will be open 24 hours. You'll get details about this. But basically, from Friday at a certain time until Saturday at that same time, for 24 hours, you will sign up and participate for 30-minute or one-hour shifts for you to come in this room and get on your face before the Lord and just call out to God on behalf of what he's wanting to do. And then you show up on November 12th excited about what God wants to do in and through the church on Rush Creek. Why? Because our world is growing dark. And listen to me, generations are waiting to see how you and I respond right now in this series. My three kids, and just personalize it for me, my three kids are waiting for how their mom and dad are going to lead them to surrender and faith and generosity. And the church that they're a part of 10, 15, and 20 years from now, well, I believe, be affected significantly by the next 6 weeks and the choices that you and I make. This is huge, church. So I don't want to take it lightly, and I don't want you to take it lightly. God is going to move in our hearts. He's going to stir in our hearts. He's going to do something significant for his glory, for his name. So let me pray over you right now as we begin this Unleashed initiative. Father, thank you so much for our team. Thank you for this church. God, thank you that you demonstrated what sacrifice and generosity looked like. And God, I pray that we would emulate that, that we would respond and demonstrate that same kind of sacrifice and generosity. Lord, the Word of God says that you did not come to be served, but to serve and to give your life. God, what if you're calling us to give our short life in such a way to make a maximum impact in your kingdom, here and around the world? That's what I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.